Good evening as we gather in our homes together tonight to remember the Lord and all that He endured on this Good Friday. I would like to begin with a word of prayer. Gracious Lord, I lift up to You our church here at Lakeview, to Your loving and caring hand, that You would touch the sick and heal them, that You would comfort the brokenhearted, that You would give peace to those who are anxious and troubled, and that the message of the cross would speak to us in these dark times and uncertain times. Oh Lord, we remember that great hymn about the cross being lifted up over the whole world. That old rugged cross which we will lay down someday before and through its work receive a crown. Lord Jesus, we so thank You tonight that You so loved us, that You gave Your life to save us. Bless us this Good Friday evening and give us peace. Amen. I want to read tonight the account from the Gospel of Mark about the crucifixion of Christ, and we're going to the 15th chapter, and we're going to begin with the 22nd verse. And they brought Him to a place called Golgotha, which is translated the place of a skull. And there they gave Him wine mingled with myrrh to drink, but He did not take it. And when they crucified Him, they divided His garments and casted lots for them to determine what every man should take. Now it was the third hour, and they crucified Him. And the inscription above of His accusation was written above, King of the Jews. And with Him they also crucified two robbers, one on His right and the other on His left. So the scripture was fulfilled, which says, and He was numbered with the transgressors. And those who passed by blasphemed Him, wagging their heads, saying, ah, You would destroy the temple and build it in 3 days. Save Yourself. Come down from the cross. And likewise, the chief of priests also mocked among themselves with the scribes and said, He saved others. Himself He cannot save. Let the Christ, the King of Israel, descend now from the cross, that we may see and believe. Even those who were crucified with Him reviled Him. Now when the sixth hour had come, there was darkness over the whole land. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, which is translated, my God, why have You forsaken Me? Some of those who stood by when they heard this said, look, He is calling for Elijah. Then someone ran and filled a sponge full of sour wine and put it to a reed and offered it to him to drink, saying, let him alone. Let us see if Elijah will come down and take him. And Jesus cried out with a loud voice and breathed His last. Then the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. So when the centurion who stood opposite Him saw He cried out like this and breathed His last, he said, truly this man was the Son of God. There were also women looking from afar, among whom were Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James the Less, and of Joseph and Salome, who also followed Him and ministered to Him when He was in Galilee, and many other women who came with Him up to Jerusalem. Tonight, we look at the Messiah the Messiah upon the cross, who from the moment he was arrested was treated with disdain and abused, tortured, compelled to carry his own cross, and which he fell under the weight of it, and another took it up for him, brought to Golgotha, nailed to that cross and raised up. You know, there are times in life that seem dark. Perhaps you're in a time like that because of your particular circumstances, because maybe of an acute sadness over your heart. There just seems to be no brightness. Life is often filled with times of despair. I get the sense during this outbreak of disease that our whole nation is struggling with darkness and with despair, and there are times that things seem hopeless, and to many they do. In fact, I've conversed with some people I know, they're not of this church, that whose witness is one of real sadness and despair and fear and anxiety and hopelessness. And as I've been able to, I have tried to share the good news. The night of the cross was not an easy night for those who knew Jesus. I find it remarkable that the main people that were bold enough to come and minister to him were not these big strong fishermen that he'd knocked around with. Most of them had cowered away. One of them, Simon Peter, even denied that he ever knew him. They were nowhere to be seen, with the exception of John, who stood with Jesus' mother. But the women that had been with him were there. And they watched him as he suffered on the cross. It wasn't enough that the Jews and Romans would crucify him. They had to ridicule him even in his suffering on the cross. They wagged their tongues. They said, if you're really able to destroy the temple and build it back in 3 days, do it. They didn't have a clue he was not talking about that temple at Jerusalem, but his own body. And he did it, as we'll celebrate on Easter. They said, you save yourself. Come down from that cross. You've saved others. They didn't realize that it was through his death on the cross that he was saving some of them who would later come to believe. And others said, let the Christ, the King of Israel, descend from the cross that we may see and believe. Even those who were crucified with him reviled him. Our Savior, not enough to crucify him, but to endure the ridicule of those who were doing it. But in the sixth hour, darkness came over the whole land until the ninth hour. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. My God, why have you forsaken me? I want to take you back just real quickly, and I've taught you this before, but I think it's so important you remember it. Jesus Christ was the full atonement for your sin and my sin. The full atonement. What does that mean? That means that he paid the full price of that which is due to us because of our sin. He was sinless, but he paid our price. And what is the price of sin? Well, apparently, the wages of sin is death. That's for sure. That's scripture, isn't it? But it also tells us that the punishment for sin is what? Hell, which cannot be more powerfully defined than being separated from God. That's a debt we all owe. But Christ on the cross even paid that debt. For when he cried out that he was separated from God, that was him paying that debt. He paid for your sins and debts completely. Jesus accomplished upon the cross, the full payment of our sin. He bore upon himself the price of our sin. To the disciples, it seemed very dark. It seemed a time of despair. It seemed a time of hopelessness, but they were mistaken. And I want to say to you tonight, if you have believed in Jesus Christ, if you have committed your life, if you trust that his death upon the cross paid your sin debt, and that he will be your life and he will grant you life everlasting, this moment on the cross was only the beginning. For that moment on the cross was where sin, the death, and the devil were defeated. Christ is already victorious, and all who are in him are already victorious. I know you may be surrounded by disease. You may be surrounded by debt. I say to our brothers and sisters overseas that are surrounded by war and all kinds of threats, fear not. Christ is victor. And as you being in him, you shall also be victorious. You see, the moment that Jesus went on the cross was only the beginning point of the defeat of the devil. And that beginning point began there. And praise God, when we gather on Easter, whether we're here or apart, we will gather celebrating the victory. In this darkest time was set the beginning stages for the resurrection. In this darkest time, the way was made for us to be free of our sin, so that as Christ rises, so shall we. Out of the darkness came the light. And I love the way the Gospel of John opens up. You know, I love the Gospel. I love all the Gospels, but I love the Gospel of John. It's a theological Gospel. And it says, and talks about Christ coming into the world. And he says, and it's lived out so true as we think about the resurrection, that the light came in the world and the world didn't comprehend it. And in fact, the world hated it because the light of Christ showed the sins of the world. That's what is hating Christ on the cross. It is the sins of the world. He came into the world. The light came into the world. He says, what is this? He said, and then he goes on to conclude in that first chapter, and the light shines in the darkness, and what? The darkness has not overcome it. And it will never overcome it. Because you see, when Christ gave up his life on the cross and paid our sin debt, God became victory. We have victory. And it is a victory that the world cannot stop. It is a light of hope and love and peace and joy that will not be extinguished. And let me tell you what, friends. Come disease, come persecution, come whatever. Because of the cross, your sins are forgiven and you're assured a place in God's kingdom. And the day will come when this crucified Lord, who was abused on the cross, who was made fun of, who was judged by the world, and I pray that day is coming soon, he will return, and instead of being the weak, suffering servant, he's coming as the ruling king. He's coming as the mighty warrior. He's coming and he'll put all things under his feet, including diseases like this we're dealing with, including persecution, including, and he will establish the kingdom of God. The cross is the beginning of that. Praise God. Amen. Let us pray. Oh Lord, as we reflect upon your death tonight, let us weep for your sufferings, but also let us rejoice in the fruit that your sufferings brought, that through you we have forgiveness and life everlasting. And, O Lord, as you alluded early in the Gospels, that if you be lifted up, and you're talking about yourself on the cross, and we preach the cross, if you be lifted up, the whole world will be drawn to you. Lord Jesus, risen Lord, crucified for our sake, we lift you up. Bless us and fill us and assure us. Amen.